I'll call the December 16th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we have a quorum. We have a properly noticed meeting. But before we get to the meeting, I just want to take this opportunity, as I usually do every year, sitting up here, to wish all of my colleagues and staff and citizens a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I hope you all spend it with your families and have a great time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, item B, citizens' comment period. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on any issue?
All right, Steve Taylor, 2812 West Hilltop Lane. I'm here on whichever item St. Martin says. I believe it's 9, and I'm not going to stick around. It's one of the perks of not having Tuesday night meetings is I can go to my Marquette games. So they play 8 o'clock. So I just wanted to make a few comments. First off, you guys have a couple different options in the report from staff. And whichever one you guys choose, obviously I'll support. If it's an issue where we're going to get some grief from the residents along St. Martin's because of a sidewalk, it's a county project. You can put them in my direction. I'll take the heat and explain to them that this is a decision that we're going with, and that also, you know, the state is the one that's kind of forcing our hand on this, so I'll definitely do that. I know there's been some questions in talking to Glenn. One of them is, you know, why is a JT, a jurisdictional transfer, good for Franklin? And I think the answer is you guys are going to get a new road. The city's going to get a new road. And that may not seem like a big deal because, you know, it is a county road and it needs to be done, but it wasn't on the list. When I got elected, it was not on the five-year plan. North Cape was not on the five-year plan. And we know how bad North Cape is. And so it was meeting with Jack Bennett, Ron, and engineering from all the different communities that moved this up the list because of the desire for the city for 20 years worth of correspondence to take this road over. It wasn't just that they were pulling it out of their hats. It was a sewer pack recommendation, and the city went with it. And then we had discussions. We had common council meetings. We had Mayor Taylor involved. We had the council alderman, Olson. Mayor Olson was alderman at the time. We started discussing these things. So it's been going on for a couple years. At least the last couple summers, we've been talking about this project or this road is coming down the pike. And the one thing I'll tell you is the county has a number of issues, financial issues. You know, we have $246 million in deferred maintenance, which isn't an excuse, it's reality. And other communities are actually contributing to get projects done. Glendale is giving $600,000 out of a $3 million project to do it now and not wait 3 or 4 years down the road. The city of Greenfield is wants to enter in a lease agreement with Milwaukee County for Kewicki Park. They already put $25,000 in their budget to operate a county park for this upcoming year. So, you know, it's imperative that you guys, I believe, make a decision, whichever one it is, but to do this project, because I think another question will be, what happens if you don't? And like I said, it will go back on the list. It wasn't in the 5-year, North Cape wasn't in the 5-year, so I would say a minimum of 5 years is the earliest you would see this project take place. And it's not because we don't know it's a bad road. We knew North Cape was a bad road before I got there. We know St. Martin's is a bad road. But I, based on the deferred maintenance and the other issues we have in the county, I can easily say that St. Martin's will get to North Cape quality before the county is going to fund a new road if you guys don't decide to one of these options. But whatever option you support, you know, I'll stand by you when, you know, except there's criticism from the residents because of the sidewalk issue, which we know can be contentious.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. Yep. Anyone else? Yes, sir, a new face. Name and address, please, for the record.
Hi, guys. I'm Jeremy Affalter. I'm on 10570 West Allwood Drive. I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time. It looks like you guys have this listed under the reports and recommendations. here regarding the dog park. Should I wait until you guys get to that then, or?
The Common Council routinely allows those who bring it forward to speak, so yeah, I think it's safe to wait.
Okay.
I don't make liars out of me, okay? Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I will close the citizen comment period. At your places, you have a revised minutes from December 2nd.
Move to approve as amended.
Second.
Discussion. Alderwoman Mayor.
I just have just a question. G7, G6, 7, 8, and 9. I don't remember that January 6th date as being the date that we moved that date to be tabled. I thought it was February. I just need clarification on this.
No, it was January 6th because I made it.
Okay, but wasn't there discussion about bringing the UDO up to us by December 31st, and then we were going to discuss things? I just want to clarify. Bringing this forward on January 6th, does that make sense if we're...
As I recall the conversation, and again, I'm old, but as I recall the conversation, I think I fashioned that motion, and it was my intention to do all of it on January 6th. Just move everything to January 6th.
Okay.
That's as I recall it.
I just remember there being a February date, and I just need clarification. What's happening in February then?
If you'd like to... modify the motion to approve to separate out G6, certainly something we can do. Alderwoman Willem.
Well, I know we have a couple things coming back. There was the reclamation plan. There is, what was the other couple things that, Clark, do you recall what the UDO issue was the other one that was coming back? This one was correct. This date's correct.
Okay.
For this particular item that you have a question, because I know I wrote that one down and I just looked at it.
Okay.
Okay. Seeing no more discussion and no changes, all those in favor of the motion to approve signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item E, organizational business boards and commissions appointments. Mark Cass, the Community Development Authority.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye. Aye.
A vote of 6-0, motion passes. Linda Wanke, District 4, to the Personnel Committee.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Discussion. Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Daniel.
Aye.
Patricia Pomahawk to the Environmental.
Move to approve.
I'm sorry. That previous motion was approved 6-0. There is a motion to approve by Alderman Mayer.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, Madam Clerk, call the roll, please.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0. Item G1, reports and condition. Commission reports and... Was that your text?
Yeah.
Recommendations. Police Department Community Grant Award to accept $2,000 from the Walmart Foundation.
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2, an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance to allow for a multifamily senior housing apartment development for Holly Inc. at 9200 West Highland Park Avenue.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Alderwoman Willow.
I guess, could I have a clarification on our procedure for who has the floor when motions are made and when people are, you know, I just need to understand that process a little better.
Yeah, that's fine. The proper way to do that is a motion should be made and seconded and then discussion. That's why I waited.
No, that I guess that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about when you just, it's okay for us to just shout out when we don't have to have the floor. We don't get called, typically you're called upon. I just want to clarify if you're supposed to be called upon or not. I want to know how you want to run the meeting, that's all.
Well, I guess our past tradition has been if you're going to make a motion to approve, and that you go ahead.
So,
now, unless you all don't want to do it that way, I'm good either way.
Well, just consistency with how you run it is fine. I just want to know how you want to do it.
I think I've been consistent, but I always, as you know, allow for comments in the meantime.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Still have the floor.
I had a couple things on this item on page 23 and 24, items 1, 4, 5, and 10 within the resolution. One is to determine the actual location of the sewer and amend the easement as necessary. I wanted to know if that was going to impact any other plans or relocations of any buildings or any easements or... And apparently, if we don't have the exact location, which will that affect? The other one is number 4, where it says revise the building elevation plans. I didn't know if that was going to affect anything. And 5, which is site grading, utility, and natural resource protection shall be revised to show the correct building footprint. 10, natural resource protection depicting all the resource features in the ordinary high watermark. So is shifting of these buildings going to affect that? And I would prefer that the public was viewing actually what was going to be approved rather than something that's going to be adjusted downstairs and not come before the public again. That's my concern. So, and then staff had suggested having the page 55, they were talking about parking fees. Given the issue of what we've dealt with parking fees, and people don't want to pay that, and there's free options on the street, I wonder if we should not, we should have them include their parking fees within their rent fee, because if this is already a low-income building, they're going to be trying to skimp as much as possible, and you're going to end up with all this parking, and we've already had to move the parking issue and the stop sign back and cause no parking because of the post office. Then you have the post office boxes there, and I'm thinking that might need to be adjusted. So those are my concerns. Other than that, if someone could address if shifting these are going to affect the natural resources and the other building sites, that would help that issue.
Would you like staff to comment?
I would.
Why don't we do them one at a time? One of your concerns at a time.
All right. Well, I guess the location of the sewer and the elevation plans kind of go together.
Well, it's two different guys, but okay, no problem.
Fine.
Sewer.
Do you want to take it?
I wouldn't be able to answer the first one, but
okay.
I wouldn't be able to answer the others.
Okay, I'll take the first one. My recollection is that because this plan had been revised a few times, I think in some of the site plans, some of the things did not match what the current, I mean, they were correctly shown on some plans. So, for example, the sewer outline, on one of the sheets, it was shown with a previous alignment, but the sewer was shown correctly on some of the other pages from my recollection. So it's not that they were misshown on purpose. I think that when they updated the plans, they didn't update all the plan sheets.
Without having any 75-foot shoreline line on one of the, I think it's C3 or something, I can't tell if anything that's going to be shifted is going to be then in that. And I know how flashy Legend Creek is and the flooding issues. And
flashy.
Goes dry right now, springtime, it's really high. You know that as a district you represented, yeah.
Special.
Number 4, in regards to the architectural changes, those are pretty straightforward. I don't think those are any ripple effects in terms of the site. We do think that they're important to maintain the full quality of this development. If there's any skimping at all, staff won't approve the building permit, but it shouldn't affect the site layout. Number five, in regards to the building footprint, the changes that they made to the building footprint that they don't show on the plans are also relatively minor. But just to be on the safe side, again, that's a condition that has to be met before a building permit will be issued. So it's our guess that it shouldn't impact anything else. But to be on the safe side, we're requiring that information, at least in our condition in this draft ordinance, to be submitted to us before building permit. If there is a problem, they'll have to fix it. And if they can't fix it, they'll have to bring it back to the Planning Commission and Council. And then the last one, that shore buffer, that is one that we've been pointing out from the very beginning. They finally did obtain DNR navigability and ordinary high watermark determination. They showed us the points on a map where that location was identified in the field by the DNR, but they didn't show that shore buffer. We're asking for that as well. They claim that it's like 19 feet away from the corner of the building, but we want proof. That one, I would believe, is potentially the greatest one if they're miscalculating anything that could have a ripple effect on the site plan. But again, I believe we're covered that if there's a problem, we're going to require this information prior to building permit. If there's a problem, we will allow the building permit to be approved.
Well, I'm looking at page 40 of the packet, and that's the C3. And it looks to me like their riprap outlet from their basin is already in the shoreline setback. That's why I ask.
Yep, we're primarily looking at it from the structure standpoint and the filling standpoint. They are going to be recreating the slope, but I believe if they are correct about the 19 feet, that should be okay. And I believe that the riprap and stormwater management should be okay as well.
You think that what it's showing in there is it's further than, there's no way that's a 75
feet.
That's not a 75-foot setback. It's like only a few feet from the wetland edge.
If they can obtain their approvals from the DNR, staff would allow it.
Well, I know, but we have an ordinance. We have a 75-foot no-touch shoreline buffer ordinance.
And we allow utilities in that area. Stormwater management facilities are utilities as defined by the UDO and the essential services.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see where we're going. All right. I would rather, when things came before the council to vote on, that we're looking at actually what we're voting on. That would be my preference from now on.
And I'm looking right at the applicant who heard that from me on a number of occasions. Any other discussion on the motion? Alderwoman Evans.
I'm in favor of this project, and I realize it's taken a long time for it to come before us, but I also have a concern about the parking. I see the recommendation is that there be 64 units versus the 69, and to have 69 units with 70 parking spaces, it just doesn't seem logical to me to have parking on the street either. I'd be curious as to, and I don't know how we would even know how to make an assumption how many seniors would use the paid parking. We can't make that assumption. And I don't see how we can tell someone how to charge their rent. I just think.
And we had those concerns as well. That's why it was an earlier draft of the ordinance. But we also had a concern about the shared parking, and they have addressed that. So we believe that there is possibly a potential future parking problem, but we think with the shared parking agreement with the Friary development next door, that's much less likely to happen and much less of a problem if it would happen. So then staff would recommend that remove that as a requirement in the latest round of staff recommendations and in the latest draft of the ordinance.
certainly it's within the rights of the Common Council to determine that there should be no parking on the A side of the street or both sides of the street, whatever length of the street you want. So that, take a look at it after it gets put up. I know what you're grinning about.
Yes, I know you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Roll call, Madam Clerk, please.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman Dandria?
Aye.
Motion passed, vote of 5-1-0. Item G3, a resolution authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement as part of a site review plan at Wisconsin Electric, 4800 West Ross.
This one's in my district.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I just want to call your attention to page 79 on here. And this is more for a point. If you look at the woodlands of Franklin, which is right next to this, you can see how the wetland actually goes onto that lot. And so, therefore, the buffer would also go onto that lot. I want you to remember this because we are doing building permits on lots without knowing what's on the next lot. And it has caused a little bit of complications with the work they've been doing out there. So I want to just let the council know when you have a wetland that's adjoining another lot that it should actually show when you're making a depiction on an adjoining lot that you can actually know what's there. Otherwise, it gets missed. So I'm hoping we have some way to follow up on the maintenance that they said they were going to do in here. That's my only question is, they have different seating. Who do we have, and how are we going to assure that this vegetation and restoration work is done?
That would be Mr. Deagle. He's furiously writing notes. Who's going to check up on the vegetation?
We can if directed. We normally don't. We go out there once, and that's usually all we do. It's usually a matter of just workload and priorities. We'll usually make one trip out there. If directed to do so, we'll go out there more.
Well, we're just really striking really strong ethics here on all these issues. But that's my concern. I will still support it. I'll make a motion to approve.
So, thank you. Second to that?
Second.
Question for Alderman Wilhelm. After what interval would you like them to revisit?
Well, typically when you're doing maintenance on or restoration, you need a 3-year maintenance period. First of all, they're putting seed down on a re-canary grass grape that is probably not even going to be successful. It was probably the wrong choice of seed mix. You can't compete with re-canary grass. I know they're doing a scrape, but it's not going to be a successful project based on what I know about restoration. And the fact that we're not going to do any follow-up, we don't even know what's going to be planted in there.
So what's the answer? 1 year? 18 months? 2 years? 3 years?
Well, the minimum of 3 year. You can't establish anything without 3 years. It takes that long just for the seeds to come up out of the ground.
All right. I won't be the mayor at the time, but I may not be the mayor at the time. 3 years. Okay, item G4, request from the Parks Commission for the Common Council to provide direction regarding...
I made the motion.
I apologize to everyone. There's a motion on the floor. I'm seconded. All those in favor, signify.
Some discussion.
Well...
Yes, sir.
So does that 3-year inspection take... Is that the one inspection that's going to happen then?
That's the second.
Because you mentioned you go back once.
I took that to mean 3 times, once each year.
Okay.
Okay.
And what's the follow-up then?
Alderman Mayer.
Thank you. So what's then the follow-up that, you know,
before we go out,
the
we'll
Alderman
ask
knows
what they
that
did,
that's happening. Yeah.
And then we'll ask if they've been out to the site, ask if they'll go with us, and we'll go together and check the site and see what they've done. looking for the vegetation that they planted to become established and not being overtaken by the invasive species. If they are, if the stuff they planted dies, they replace it. If the invasive species are coming back and choking out what they planted, then they'll have to remove the invasive species again each time for 3 years. And then after 3 years, then they're done.
It's my understanding that with reed canary grass, I mean, scraping isn't probably going to do anything for the seed bank.
It helps. They're trying to remove the seed bed where the seeds and roots are. But then there'll be some things birds can bring in. They might miss some, so that the stuff next door, some of the stuff grows by rhizomes, and they can spread back into the area. Hopefully what they're trying to do is give a foot up for the native species to try to outcompete the invasives. And the idea being that once an area is disturbed, the invasives usually have the edge and outcompete the natives. If you can get an area to be undisturbed, the natives have a better chance and might be able to survive.
So what happens?
Going back, hopefully, ideally, each year there'd be less work they would have to do, less disturbance they would create, and then hopefully those native species would have a chance.
And if after 3 years, you know, it's a complete failure, for example, what happens?
Then it'll be a wetland again the way it was, chock full of invasive plants, reed canary grass, and thorn and mills, and those wetlands.
And then they have to do it all over again?
Only if we ask them to. Only
which,
if we make
of course,
that part
we
of the
would
approval.
Do to ensure.
That would be a reasonable assumption. Did we vote on this?
No.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Now back to G4, request for Parks Commission. The Common Council to provide direction regarding citizens' request for the city to locate, design, and build a dog park.
Move to suspend rules to allow Jeremy to speak.
Second. All those in favor of the motion to suspend?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Come on up, Jeremy. But let me just say this. There's a larger issue here. It doesn't relate to dog parks. It relates to how we ask boards and commissions to handle their business. And we'll have a discussion on this maybe January at a committee of the whole. Parks Commission didn't know if they could act on this without getting their hands slapped. So it's a fair question. How do we as a common council want our boards and commissions to handle requests that they may or may not believe are in their purview? So we'll deal with that then. Jeremy, welcome.
Hi. I guess I'm just here for a little direction. I went to the Parks Commission meeting on last Monday, and they basically told me that it would have to go through you guys in order for them to proceed. So I guess I'm not sure. I have some research that I did do. I guess to try and put it in my favor, but I don't know if I should give you guys all that information now or if I save that for the Parks Commission or how this really works. So
let's do it this way. Is there a motion to direct Parks Commission to determine possible locations, development costs, and operational costs to return with that data along with the recommendation of the Common Council by a date certain?
So moved.
Second.
And the date certain to be?
February.
The last second meeting of February.
Yeah.
Yes, last.
Okay. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. It's going to the Parks Commission.
So it's going to them?
To do all of that work.
Okay.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess I just want to let you know that I would be interested in looking through what you have. So,
sure. I have some paperwork that I printed off for you guys, too, in case you want to take a look at that or you want me to do it now.
Well, if you want to give me a call, we can, unless you have it all printed right
yeah.
now, and yeah, that would be fine.
The rules are suspended. Mr. Lewandowski.
I've got to ask the question, is this coming out of the impact fees for this dog park if it does go through? I can't see why we need a dog park, but there are people that got dogs, and they keep walking them through my neighborhood, but I can't see any reason to have a dog park in this city. We've got a county dog park and everything else under the sun here. And I don't even have a child's park in my neighborhood. All these parks are being built. One's going to be built, trying to be built on Loomis Road. and it's too close to the road for kids to be playing around with. Now somebody wants a dog park? This is ridiculous. I hope it ain't the impact fees that's going to do this. Thank you.
Well, the answer to your question, Mr. Lewandowski, is there's no money being spent. We're just getting information. Let's just study. Thank you, Jeremy. Alderwoman Waltham.
Now that I have some information, I did notice Pleasant View Park in here, and we need to stop making Pleasant View Park as the regional park. I'll remind everyone again, it is a neighborhood park, so please let's not stir up Evergreen Street again with another issue. I greatly appreciate that.
Okay, but I will tell you that Pleasant View Park is not the neighborhood's park. It is a neighborhood park. It's owned by the city and used by the city.
Correct, but so, you know, if you bring in a regional, a dog park, it's open to everybody in southeastern Wisconsin. You can't keep people out if it's a city park.
Well, let's get the information and see what happens. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Okay, item G5, we're just moving right along. Resolution to replace the pedestrian bridge crossing at... is there a motion to return to regular order?
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now to G5. Resolution to replace pedestrian bridge crossing Legend Creek. Mr. City Engineer.
If you have taken a stroll recently across Legend Creek, there's a pedestrian pathway and a bridge. You'll notice that it's very weak when you try to walk over it, very bouncy. So our guys went out to look at how to replace the wood boards, and upon investigation noticed that the underside underneath the wood is in very poor shape. A lot of the structural members are completely in two. So they are out there. Matter of fact, there should be some posts on the signs. I actually had our bridge inspection folks downstairs actually go out and look at it and write up a little report. Recommendation was to close it to any vehicular traffic, so the one with the golf cart could drive across it. Pedestrian would be fine, but we tried to shore it up with some temporary wood bracing just to kind of get us through. In the meanwhile, we tried to figure out what to do about it. We looked into possibly rebuilding the bridge ourselves. Our guys do have that capability, but the thought was that as much as our guys would get excited about doing it, it would take them away from everything else that we do. It would take way too long to reconstruct the bridge. So we did look at some folks who have supplied some bridges for us in the past, as I understand, and they gave us some quotes on some bridges. So we 40 to 45,000 is probably what it's going to take us to replace that bridge with another wood. With a metal bridge, and I understand from Paul that we do have some funds available to us if you should choose to spend them in that direction. So I guess if there's anything else you'd like me to comment on.
Is that correct, Mr. Ratzenberg?
Yes.
And you have prohibited me from walking across that bridge. Is that correct?
I made no such claim.
Alderman Evans.
You said you have a quote. It's a bid, correct? Or is it a quote?
Estimate. It's an estimate. It's from the folks who supply the bridge, and included in those prices are our work to actually install it. So we have rental of a crane. We have some additional funds in there for to replace the sod and the asphalt that we might tear up trying to get the old one out and putting the new one in, and some other ancillary issues.
Is it possible to get some estimates from other companies besides this one?
We could do that. The thought was is somewhat emergency, and obviously at the end of the year we could get additional quotes and make sure that we don't exceed that. Being playground equipment kind of, you know, we could get other folks to supply quotes for bridges, and we try to get one very similar to what's out there now. But if you'd like us to get quotes for similar ones, we could do that also.
And did you say the boards have to be replaced?
Yeah, typically you would replace the boards occasionally, but it's kind of silly to replace those with the structural steel support.
I guess I'm wondering the condition of the boards right now, the actual ones that are attached to the top.
They are structurally sound. I went there, and they're sound. They're just bouncy because there's no supports in
the reason way. Why I asked that, because the price quote includes nearly $4,000 in the wood deck, and so
we would replace it. I don't mean to imply the wood's ready to break right now, but if you're going to replace the rest of the bridge, you would want new decking. Otherwise, you'd be replacing decking another 2 or 3 years.
Okay. So you think they're that far gone? It would only be 2 years left?
They are pretty weathered. I didn't see any. I didn't inspect them very closely for serious defects, but they are weathered very strong.
Because I guess I'm looking at if they could be reused, and you know you have one on here. The existing rebuild is 9,000 versus 43,000. That's a huge difference, especially if you can reuse some of the lumber. And you save $4,000. Now we're talking, you know, hardly even $6,000 to fix the bridge versus $43,500. So,
well, and again, I did ask our guy that $9,400. That is for our guys to do all the work, to cut new metal members and to weld them in place. And again, we have that capability. It's just that it would take them away from all the other operations that we provide down at Public Works Department.
And what happens if we were to bid that rebuild out?
$43,500.
No, that's a completely new bridge.
Rebuild. I got it.
We did not consider that option. Having someone rebuild with that, again, it's man hour intensive, and to do it out in the field would be extremely difficult. So
it's going to be $30,000 worth of man hour intensive, I guess is my question, because we're at hardly at 10 here. Plus, if you can reuse some of the lumber. I understand the bridge is a really important bridge.
Yes.
And it's used a lot, but I'm also looking to be a little...
Sure. I did provide those other quotes. I mean, that is worthy of consideration. Just I want you to know that it will be late man-hour intensive and probably June, July, August before we actually physically replace the bridge.
Well, it'd be nice to have that quote, I guess.
Alderman Mayor.
Why would it be June, July, August?
Yes, I am.
What's that?
Why would it be June, July, August?
We do have snow and snowplow operations and a lot of other things that we're doing, so we'd have to fit that in amongst other everything else that we're doing down at the operations.
Would you do it during the winter anyway?
Most of it would be. Depends on how busy we are doing other things that we do.
But if we bid this out to, you know, another company that could rebuild or whatever and not use our guys, then they could do it now or in the spring? Or
I would assume so. I don't know of any companies that would do that, but I'm sure we could find someone.
I'm sorry, you don't think that there would be any other companies that would want to do this?
I'm not sure. I haven't asked Jerry to check into that.
I guess I would rather have some more information than just go with $43,000.
Alderman Mayor.
I would just worry if we have somebody rebuild it, what guarantees would we have of the quality of it? If it's our guys rebuilding it, which I'm not in favor of, at least we would know that we could maintain stability. But if somebody else comes in, I don't know. Are there certified bridge builders on this kind of thing or something like that we would know? That's what I would worry about.
Sure.
And I guess, what's the lifespan of a bridge? If we pay $43,000 for the top one, is that going to last us a lot longer than if we rebuild what's there now?
As an example, this was, I believe, a purchase bridge, and I thought it was in the 70s, and Jack the other day thought it was in, the early 80s when it was installed, so... The 80s, it's been 30 years.
But I'm just saying, if we pay more now, is it going to last us longer than if we just rebuild what's there? If we rebuild
yes.
what's there?
Okay. Yes.
And there's no way to say exactly how long, but if we rebuild it, it might only last us 20 years, whereas if we get a good one, a decent one, it might last us 40
and
years.
And the bridge we have now would have lasted longer. The thought is that probably at some time someone started salting the pathway, and that salt is actually what caused the corrosion, because the metal above the decking is in really pretty good shape. It's everything below the decking that the salt got to that really caused the corrosion.
So will it be salt resistant, the new one, or a rebuild?
We could paint it. I mean, we've looked at different options. To be honest, I don't recall what we're quoted here.
Okay, because I wouldn't want to say don't salt it, because that could be an issue as well.
Or we would have to pay attention to it, provide maintenance occasionally for the sub-decking.
Alderman Dander.
Hey, Glenn, with all the questions that are coming out, do you think we should probably go back and get bids so that we can go back and find out what type of paint they're going to use on the substructure, the steel that is going to be properly coated, that it can be, it could withstand
sure,
the conditions that we're going to impose?
I think we could do that. And we have one more meeting this year, so you'd still have time to encumber the money. So that'd be good. Correct, Paul?
No, this is it, man.
Or is this it?
So if we don't do it tonight, then we'd have to use next year's funds.
And Paul, you're saying we have the funds available. Can we vote? Oh, I guess this is a question maybe for the attorney then, if we or to Mark. Can we authorize something, but then ask him to go back and?
Yeah, you could authorize an amount not to exceed, and we could see if we could get quotes to come within that. Correct.
Yeah, but at the same time, recognize if the funds aren't committed, you don't have a contract signed where they're encumbered, they simply fall to the bottom line, and the Common Council, through budget modification next year, could pull them back onto the bottom line and reappropriate them. So you would be able to address them at that time. Also, next year's budget has the same contingency appropriation. So you could use that 50, and then if something else comes up later in the year, pull that money out of the bottom line and reappropriate it. So the money doesn't go away. It's still there in our bank account. It just, the steps that you would have to do if you move to next year is a budget modification.
We can do that.
Okay. Alderman May.
When did we find out about this issue?
It's probably about 3 weeks ago. Took us some time to get the quotes, and I think it was about, it was early last week when we got the prices together.
So I'm not a fan of going into a new year with a contingency expenditure right off the bat. It just doesn't look good. It'd be my suggestion, and of course the council does what it wants, but it'd be my suggestion to go ahead with a not to exceed number with instructions to the staff that they get a quote on someone to rebuild and get a second quote from somebody else on a new and allow them to make the decision. That would be my suggestion.
But when you suggest a quote, I would like to see, you know, several quotes. I don't know about the rest of the council, but just not from one company, if possible.
Okay. Okay. Let's do. Are you okay? Alderman Mayer, and then Alderman Dandria.
Actually, Mark was up first.
Alderman Dandria.
I agree with Janet. Let's go out and get the 2 to 3 votes and, the quotes, not the votes. And then, Mr. Mayor, you were saying who's going to make the decision? Then have staff make the decision viewing it? Okay. I would be fine with that, but let's at least get some quotes and multiple, you know, get the 2 to 3
sure.
quotes that we're looking for.
Alderman Mayer.
I guess with all due respect, I'd rather put it over to next year and use the contingencies as we see fit after we see the quotes that
okay.
we come up with, because I'd rather know what we're putting in and whether we're rebuilding or buying new.
Well, I would, except I'd like to see the bridge get done because I know how much it's used, so I don't want to delay it too long, so I guess I'd have to probably get right on that.
Sure.
But I know there are a lot of welders out there, a lot of professional people might be able to build this bridge up stronger than, you know, buying a new one, because you can actually supervise and see what you're getting, and you can have, you know, a design. But you, when you're buying one, you get what you get, so it might end up being a stronger bridge. It might even last longer, so I think it's worth it to at least see that, because it might save us some money. And if it doesn't, we just can go with a preformed bridge and go out and do that.
Sure.
You're still up for it,
I'm sorry, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I guess if we do see those quotes, maybe an estimate of a expected time frame that the bridge would last, each of them, to show us what the quality we're getting?
Sure.
And my only comment is we're talking about a bridge here. Yeah, it's a small one, but it's still a bridge. I'm not real thrilled about hiring a welder to put one together, if you know what I mean. Mr. City Attorney.
In its simplest form, I understood this to be two things. Emergency, number two, product, which is the bridge is purchased, Department of Public Works staff puts it in. Absent those, my concern is that you're turning this into a public works project, which will have to go through the bidding process. And when you start talking about next year, that's the easy answer, that
class one notification.
The public works project goes to bid.
Yeah, yeah, I think that is an important distinction that it should be or that we plan to install it. So.
I don't know. We didn't have to go out for bid on we did the Pleasant View Trail, I don't think. We put that in. That was a public work, so I'm trying to distinguish.
That was bid.
It was bid? Okay, well, maybe we
However,
should hear from Ron.
Mr. Romeis.
Yeah, just a couple of aspects to that. If you're going to hire a welder, he can measure and such, but you would almost get to a design point. This component that we're buying is certified that they look at it structurally, you know, it's a holistic set, you know. If you have it just welded, then if you're going to take bids, you have to specify it, you know, so you got to know welding, you got to know structural members and how they're going to interreact. I mean, they can do measurements of what's out there, but you're a little bit light on the surety of, you know, of that finished product. The bridge component that we're buying is going to be certified by the manufacturer, you know, as struck, you know, put together properly with the components structurally working together. It's a concern.
You should always do business with somebody big enough to sue. Alderman Well.
Got a comment with that?
It's true.
Well, we were able to reconstruct the bridge with the Pleasant View Trail somehow. We were able to reuse that bridge. And that bridge seems a lot more substantial than this bridge. That bridge was for vehicles. This is mainly a pedestrian. So I'm just questioning, you know, why we can't find a way to do this at a cheaper cost. But it sounds like, you know, staff really wants to go with the $43,000 option and get it in and put it in. That's fine. You can do that.
Mr. Romeis.
Just that, yeah, the Pleasant View Trail Bridge was purchased through this company. I mean, it was, again, you know, a design build. And they certified, you know, they gave capacity, bearing capacity and such. Again, that aspect is signed off by the manufacturer of the bridge. And that's extremely important, I think, versus kind of a random hiring on somebody to assemble a bridge with no design, you know, capabilities.
Action regarding this item.
I guess I'll move to lay it over until we get more bids.
Second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Discussion of that motion? All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So you should post.
Yeah, we'll start on that tomorrow. Thank you.
Keep an eye on it.
Yep.
There are a lot of people going across that bridge. Okay, item G7, extension of towing contract for 2015, Madam Clerk.
G6.
Oh, did I miss G6? Yeah. I'm just so excited. Oh, yes. How did I forget this? A resolution authorizing certain officials to execute agreement continue professional environmental engineering services to JSA Civil Environmental Engineers. Mr. City Attorney.
This is the monitoring services contract that has been approved by the Common Council annually, at least since approximately 2005 or 6. The price hasn't changed since 2008. The only difference between this year and last year is instead of a dime a page for all copies, letter size copies, it is now going to be charged an extra 45 cents per colored copy page. And the monitoring committee has appreciated the services received from JSA Civil Environmental Engineers through the years. Per usual, Waste Management was notified of this item appearing before the council. Waste Management reimburses all of its costs pursuant to the landfill siting agreement.
Help me understand, who gets called when there's a complaint about the landfill? Who's going to take that? And my point is being made, I joke, my point is being made by the lack of response. Mr. City Attorney, can I crack this one?
It's been a long time since the subject matter came up.
Just about every
somewhere.
Year.
I don't believe so. Somewhere during one of the discussions while in writing, it may be elsewhere, which includes call to Waste Management, and then follow up by Waste Management, the city attorney dating back some years, and for whenever the question asked, repeatedly said, if there's a complaint, call the city, in addition to calling Waste Management, but primarily call the fire department, call the police department, call the health department. And that process, per my recollection, has worked well. And at least one of the departments, whether regardless of time of day, responded to complaints and determined what the situation was. And then JSA was brought into the notice scenario also by city departments. And Mr. Spear, who's sitting out there, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that's correct.
That is. Well, my issue is this. I don't know that there's any guidelines or instructions anywhere on the city website or published anywhere that would allow anyone to understand that procedure. So, we don't have an alderman on that. I'll take care of it. Is there a motion to approve the contract?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, Madam Clerk.
If I could just add that if anybody was questioning the process, they would have filed, I would assume they would have filed a complaint during the regular complaint handling process, and there have been none received. So
I bring this up on purpose.
I figured it did.
Because my Saturday morning trips lead me to find issues periodically, and there is nobody at City Hall. I wouldn't think to call the police department. And I've been told, well, just call Marv Wolf. Well, yeah, okay, I can do that, but what about my neighbor? You know, we just need a procedure in place. It's going to be Suzanne and Alderwoman Mayor.
Okay, I do wonder, does the council get an update from this committee as far as what's going on over at Waste Management? And
Madam Clerk?
The monitoring committee meets four times a year, and they have agendas and minutes that are put in. I can't remember if we email them or if they're put in your mailboxes, but the secretary of the monitoring committee works out of Muskego, and she provides them to us, and she also passes and distributes them. But they do meet four times a year, and they are provided to everybody.
Okay. Can you just check for me to see if I've received any of that? I
sure,
would assume I have since...
I can pull out maybe 2 years, which would be 8 meetings and copying for everybody.
Okay. At least me, just because I'd be the alderman in that district. And then the other thing that I just see here is that it's actually I don't know if it's a typo, but we got 5 cents, 5.5 cents that were being charged instead of a dime. So I thought that was a pretty good deal, but it's supposed to be 55 cents.
There was another typo earlier, I forgot. But
I thought that was a really good deal, but
yeah. All right, Alderman Wilhelm, right. While we're looking.
I'm sorry.
What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Is that it, Suzanne?
Yeah.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, Mayor, I'm not sure what complications you have when you go out there, but is there a change that you could suggest that would address that in the contract? If it's additional monitoring or if it's a particular item, is there something that we could beef up in the contract?
I'm not sure it relates to, thank you, that's an excellent question. I'm not sure it relates to the contract. We'll get to Joe. It's a procedural informational issue with me. Who do you call? That's my issue. And the clerk, with all due respect, says fill out a form. Well, fill out a form gets you, you know, halfway down next week before something happens. So I just want a procedure in place. Same as the quarry thing. Yeah, we'll get it on the website and stuff like that. But Mr. Spear.
Your host agreement with the landfill identifies them as the contact point for a complaint. So if you make a change, you have to go back to that legal agreement. And your attorney understands that better than I.
Mr. City Attorney, I didn't mean to make this a federal case.
That's where it's written. But at the siting committee through the years, and that negotiation was 9.5 years, at the common council, I said, City of Franklin, and the council concurred, including the then mayor, should handle it like any other potential emergency. Pick up a telephone, and you call the police department, call police department, fire department, and health department, or at least one of them. It's just a real common sense. That's what you do. You know, if your house is on fire or something, you got a complaint against something's going on out at the landfill. That's just a simple way to do it.
I'll follow up. I don't think it relates to Joe's.
Okay.
Is there action regarding this item?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Just with the correction.
Yeah.
That's on the action sheet.
Yes.
Okay. Vote is 6-0. Motion passes. Item G7. Thanks, Joe. Good to see you.
Thank
As
you.
Always, Merry Christmas.
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Recommendation by the EDC to direct staff to simplify the temporary sign process for build new buildings and new construction.
I'll make the motion to direct staff to prepare the appropriate changes to relax the requirements and simplify the temporary sign process and return to the same of the EDC for review and recommendation.
Second.
Alderman Evans.
I have a question about this. Why is this being brought up by the Economic Development Commission instead of the Architectural Review Board? Why didn't, did the EDC go to the Architectural Review Board since they handled signage?
I'll take this one. The EDC traditionally has been involved and is charged with looking out for the interests of businesses. When the sign ordinance was proposed several years ago, they were one of the reviewing bodies and recommending bodies. I think it's appropriate that they do this. The Architectural Review I'm not sure is appropriate for that. This is an issue. This is a business issue. This is making it clear so that businesses know what's expected and what's permitted for temporary signs for open house. So you don't have banners there for 6 years and stuff. Okay?
And, yes, I did go to the architecture committee, and there was a business person that did have a complaint, so that's why I supported the bringing it to the council.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. To the favorite topic of the evening, jurisdictional G9, jurisdictional transfer of West St. Martin's Road from South North Cape to Lover's Lane Road. This is Mr. Morrow, city engineer.
Thank you. Before I get started, and before I forget, please turn to page 135. There's a line, whereas up to $50,000 has been identified for this project. Please scratch that. We've got some great admin staff, and matter of fact, I'm not so sure I wasn't the culprit of doing the cut and paste, but that is not appropriate for this one. It needs to be scratched.
And whereas number three, after Trans 75, the word is requirements.
Where's that?
I'm sorry.
So anyway. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead. All right. As mentioned in the public comment period, this has been a project that's been talked about for some time, and the county has approached the city and said, "Hey, we'd like to discuss this now, if that's a possibility." They actually hired a consultant to evaluate the existing pavement, determine how to structurally fix it in different ways and different life expectancies. Of those six options, our staff, Ron and I, have explored that in depth. We investigated to some extent. We talked to a lot of experts, City Milwaukee Street Department. We talked to some manufacturers of some various fabric and grid to extend the pavement and see what some options were available. We talked to Board of Works. And long story short, there is only one way that they could fix this pavement that we would take the, and I also talked to the street commissioner, Jerry. There's only one way that we would want to even take this pavement, and that is to remove the existing asphalt, which is anywhere from 8 to 9.5 inches thick, and get down to existing concrete, and we would rubbleize existing concrete, leave it in place, compact it, and then we would backfill to roughly approximately the same grade where it's at. That's the only way that we would take it, that we would feel comfortable with it. Anything less than that, as far as we're concerned, the county should just keep it because we don't want to maintain it. We think that there will be too many problems they have to deal with. Having said that, we have verbally told the county that, and the county is perfectly fine doing that. They are willing to pay whatever it takes to do that. The situation is that this would that level of fix would put it into Trans 75. And if you're not familiar with Trans 75, Trans 75 says if you upgrade a road to a good enough quality that you have to provide pedestrian and bicycle abilities for the road. And there's some other requirements with that. So talking with the county and knowing that they would do Trans 75, they want to know if we would indeed be willing for them to do the project, and they would handle all those issues. Obviously, we would work with all the residents and commercial and businesses up and down in this section of the road. We would take everyone's concern. We'd work with the county on their project to ensure that this happens. As far as is a sidewalk or pathway needed, it's appropriate for it to be there. There are businesses, there's churches, there's several neighborhoods, and for pedestrian safety, I think that would be a nice thing to have the county pay for that. We would work with the county in any public hearings, any public education, and again, take all of the input from our residents and ensure that those are indeed in the plans, or we address them to the best of our ability, and we come up with a quality project, and then we would be willing to take the project. The county wants to make sure that we would be willing to work with them in the design and support them in their endeavors, and I can tell you our department, if you so choose, we would be willing to do that. And having said that, they need to have the funds spent by the end of 2016. So they'd like to know fairly soon. They have verbally told us that they would like a decision by the end of this year. I will tell you that during the Board of Works meeting, Superintendent Taylor said that was a little loose. If you want to wait till January and let them know, that they would be fine with that. But they do want a decision, and again, if they make the decision, or if we make the decision to do that, that they would indeed solicit our help to work through the process, and we would make it the best of our abilities. The there is some storm sewers in the area, and they're in deplorable shape. We went out and took our TV camera, and we documented those, and I'm getting ready, regardless of what your decision tonight, I plan to send that information to them. So if it turns into our road, that'll be part of the road project. If it's not part of our road or system, it's still their system, their storm sewer system that they need to maintain, and we'll see that they pay attention to that. Any other questions that you'd like me to entertain?
First of all, I'd like everybody to recognize there are four mayors in this room tonight. It's pretty impressive. God, this is scary. I've had a number of conversations with the county transportation guys. If we don't do this, they're not going to do anything. Bottom line. But I want everybody to understand, and I've made this point a million times, this is a county project. And thank you to Alderman Supervisor Taylor for standing up and saying, I'll take the heat. Because I can't have these two taking the heat because of this decision. But I also agree that this is an appropriate decision. I made the policy statement way back when that I'm not taking this road unless it gets totally rebuilt, because I don't want to maintain it. I don't want to be responsible for maintaining a road prior to its useful life. So, but this is your guys' decision. So we had your hand up first. Alderman Mayor.
I just want to pass out some information because the project for Alderman Mayer and I has been relatively frustrating. And I think that it's because we didn't really have a background as to what was what it was all about. I mean, to me, it seemed like the county was just trying to unload some roads, and you know, we were taking on some responsibility that I didn't feel as though, you know, we should have to do. And I found this. This is a very short part of a very, very long document from Sewer Pack, and it goes through basically the plan from, I don't know how long ago, probably 19-something, 1990, whatever, about these different roads and how they wanted to get rid of them, and that St. Martin's Road has been on this list for a long time. I do want to direct you to, though, to page 445. I don't know. Did everybody get one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Jesse did.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get some of those tomorrow.
And I just wanted to point out some things. Thank you to Supervisor Taylor. I think that he did try to keep the project moving in the right direction, but I don't think that we had a full scope of what this project really was. And really what it boils down to is that the city of Franklin is giving is taking on a lot of roads into local, but we're also supposed to be giving roads to the county, and it's a big plan for the sewer pack and the region to, you know, take on all these responsibilities. But the one thing that I wanted to point out is just a couple of things. The supervisors in this whole process, it just seems to be a big, huge confusion, and you know, the city is blaming the county for not having, you know, the information, and the county's making us make a decision on jurisdictional transfer. And there's a lot of responsibility that needs to be taken by all of the jurisdictions, including the state. And I don't know if Alderman Mayer and I feel comfortable with the information that we've received from the state. We feel like this is kind of being
railroaded,
you know, kind of shoved at us, and we don't really, you know, you said we're going to be able to work with the businesses and that kind of, I don't think that we can. You know, if we put in a sidewalk, it is the way they want it to be, and we have to take it. I don't know if I'm comfortable with St. Martin's Road. I don't understand St. Martin's Road as being on the same level as, say, North Cape. North Cape is a local road. It's a residential road, and it's different than St. Martin's. So I would like to understand Sewer PAC's reason for St. Martin's Road being on this list of jurisdictional transfer, number one, and try to understand the whole plan that they have. County Supervisors on page 445 is we'll work cooperatively with the DOT and the cities to recommend the changes for jurisdictional responsibilities for portions of the roads. And they're also supposed to help with detailed planning, preliminary engineering, and environmental studies. My understanding is with the environmental studies, that's going to show how the businesses will be affected, which is probably Alderman Mayer's and my main concern with doing this jurisdictional transfer and doing the construction altogether, because it is going to affect them, possibly destroy them with the road being down like that. Cities, same page, 445. Number two, work with the Regional Planning Commission in the major review of the reevaluation of the county jurisdictional highway system plans. I don't know if anyone on this council even knows that this document exists. I don't know if they know about this plan. And I don't know why, with two jurisdictional transfers, North Cape Road and St. Martin's Road, that this has never been brought up to us to know exactly what the long-term, long-range plan is for the city of Franklin with all of this. I would assume that, Mayor Olson, you know about this document. And
I've seen the document, but it's not like I would agree with it.
Right.
The reality on all of this, and I totally understand the alderman's concerns, I think for the county, and I can't speak for the county, but my impression is that this is a matter of them shedding some maintenance responsibility. They don't want to plow it, they don't want to stripe it, they don't want to do any of that stuff anymore. They want to get out of that business.
I don't think that that's true.
Well,
because okay.
We're going to be taking on.
And we're going to be giving them some. It's in the plan.
What are we going to give them? Forest Hill Avenue? They're, understand, the county's whole thing from now until they're dissolved is push it on to the locals. Whatever cost they can, they're going to shove down on us for everything. It's the way it's going to be.
I understand that, and it does kind of seem as though we're taking on all the responsibility for all the roads and not really getting back what we should. I believe that, you know, the county should be doing their job. They should be fixing the roads. I mean, how dare they let North Cape Road get to the condition that it did wind up in, and I hope St. Martin's Road wouldn't turn into that. You got Crystal Ridge that... It's a really fun road, but it's going to get dangerous too, and that's really frustrating to me. Is what's the plan for these county roads? If we don't take them on, they're just going to be allowed to turn into disarray.
Although they'll never admit saying this, they're going to put it back on the schedule, and whenever it hits, but it ain't going to be soon. That's the game they're playing. And I'm saying it on the record. I'm sure Supervisor Taylor is listening to this now, but that's what's happening. They're pushing all the expenses that they can to the communities, or they're just not doing it. And the reality is that they're using Trans 75 because they don't have a road budget. They have a small budget for roads, but it's not going to cover reconstruction costs, so that's why they say it's got to be Trans 75 dollars. And all Trans 75 is a requirement when you use federal funds through the state. It's just a requirement not piled onto that. So they're using state money to build a county road to give to the city to federal standards.
To federal standards, and that's the frustrating part, is why can't we have more say in how we want to do it? Because St. Martin's Village needs to have more than just a state road plowed through it.
Believe me, I'm right on your side. Now, I did get a commitment from Brian Dranzik that said, yes, Steve, we're going to work with you on this. I held my tongue. But he said, we're going to work with you on this, and I get your frustration. I'm right with you. The choice is get a road rebuilt and have a sidewalk put in and it's a county project, or not. That's really that's the choice that they've given us. I hate to boil it down to that simple, but that's what it is. It's all the room mayors on the floor.
I don't know. I'd like to hear from Alderman Mayor.
But when I said railroaded a minute ago, that was out of the frustration from this entire project. We haven't been given the information for months. Ron has been working really, really hard on this. He's done an outstanding job, but they're not telling him everything either. Suzanne and Ron in Milwaukee County and I thought they were supposed to be represented from Milwaukee County here tonight. I see there's not. But we met with Milwaukee County and the state by telephone a few months ago. And the two bureaucrats, and there's good people that work for governments and there's not so good people that work for governments. We're all basically bureaucrats. Whether we're good or bad is a different story. There's a lot of good ones. But the bureaucrats we talked to in Madison, a couple of ladies who are, I guess, were engineers or whatever, they were bothered by us. Why were we so, why did we have the nerve to even contact them? One of them even left because she was so bothered. She had more important things to do than to talk to us. And they told us, no, this is it. This is the rule, and this is the way it applies. Ron was talking this afternoon. He does have some great ideas, and I trust you. I don't necessarily trust the others. I think if you can work with them, if they allow you to work with them, I think we can come up with some good things. But the trouble is, there's the bureaucrats applying the code. We've got the fire chief in here. He has fire inspectors that work for him. The fire inspectors apply the code. They can't change it. It is what it is. But if the business or building wants to appeal to the fire chief to maintain the same level of safety, the fire inspectors can't make that call, but the fire chief could. So what I'm suggesting is our mayor and the county executive and the governor get together on a summit on this and cut through the red tape. The governor of Washington State built a bridge in 4 weeks that was supposed to take years. It collapsed. He cut through the red tape and had it built in 4 weeks. If that governor can do it, we can do it too. And if we cut through the red tape, why can't we get the governor here? There's millions of dollars invested here. They're all constituents of the governor. They're all constituents of the county executive. Most of them are your constituents. And it's not just the people that live on the road. It's the people that travel on the road as well. They're all constituents. And they're all important. We should cut through the red tape and get the bosses together and bring the governor here and the county executive and show him St. Martin's. Let him see Ron's ideas so that we can have a guarantee that we can resolve issues that those businesses have in that area and get a workable solution. We've also asked for diagrams from county. It is a county project, but they won't give us anything. They won't tell us what they're going to do. All they want us to do is approve this, and then if they work with Ron, the way it looks, it'll work out good. But there's no guarantee there. And they could come through and just put the highway right through and tear down buildings and come right up to the buildings, and they wouldn't care, and we would just have a highway right through a place that nobody knew was ever St. Martin's. If they work with Ron, and if we get a guarantee on that, then I feel much better about it.
Alderman Wong.
Well,
I didn't see any assurance that we wouldn't have to apply Trans 75. I saw language that we would look for an exemption from Trans 75, so it would, the path would be only on one side. But we can't guarantee that, which leads the vision back to what Alderman Mayer just said. That concerns me. It's like asking us to take a jurisdictional transfer and not knowing what we're going to get. It's it's like shopping for something online but not knowing what I'm purchasing. So I guess I would like to understand a little bit more about the road design, the possibility of the Trans 75 for the exemption before I want to take over the road, because I don't. Maybe if we can't get an exemption, do we want a path? Do we want to destroy the entire city of village of downtown St. Martin's because we can't get an exemption from Trans 75? So I guess I'd like to know that. One of the things that, you know, I've been told is we don't have a design yet. The design is to come. But if you look at your resolution in front of you, pretty much the meat of the thing, I always read resolutions in the now, therefore, it be resolved, because that's what really applies. It's not all the stuff, the whereas is before that. It's the be it resolved. And it says, in exchange, we're going to get this, but we're going to get the widening to 30 feet and a multi-use path along one side. Well, this is a resolution we can't guarantee. So if someone can guarantee that this is what's going to happen, and the two aldermen are okay with the widening to 30 feet and a path along one side, I can live with that. But I don't want to adopt this resolution that says this only to find out, oh, too bad, that's not the way it's going to happen. So maybe we need to get a clarification on if we can get an exemption from one side. And if the county can do that for us, then maybe we can consider more heavily the jurisdictional transfer. It would be the right way to do it. And I also had, I haven't yet to see any of their Section 106, the historical data, to see if St. Martin's downtown would apply with that. If they have to follow the Section 106 and the historics, there could be funds available to compensate some of the businesses for lost parking. There could be a lot of other options. I think to just take this over right away before we have some of those answers is a little premature, and I am uncomfortable with that.
Alderman Mayer.
Alderwoman Wilhelm, did you mention anything about the environmental studies? Is that what you were
Can I respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Section 106 is the, it's more the ship of the State Historical Preservation Office, which I don't know if that's all part of the EIS, what they call environmental assessment document, or how exactly they do all that, but I know that's part of it. I did forget to ask her a question about, she'd mentioned a road that we were supposed to be giving the county. That might be good for us to know, because maybe we'll do a double jurisdictional transfer. We'll give them one of ours if they're going to make us take one.
It would be nice, actually, to be able to see the full plan of theirs, you know, have them come in and give a plan for Franklin and what they want from us and, you know, what they expect. I would like to see something like that, and I think it's good information for the council just in general, because I don't think that this is the last of it, so we might as well get the full scoop. I have a problem with the 30 feet of road also. I know that Ron and I have talked about this, but it's all these state requirements, and it's just frustrating because St. Martin's does not deserve a 30-foot wide road. That's all I have to say.
Just for the record, I have spoken with the county executive about this. I have spoken to Representative Skoransky about it. that's about the extent of the conversation. Nothing comes of it.
So you're telling us that the county executive doesn't care about this large percentage of his constituents?
In the scheme of things, in his view, well, I can't say that. But it's...
One could interpret it that way reasonably, though.
Yeah. He wants to be involved, but it's in his best interest.
We'll remember that election time.
I just want to remind everybody, and I'm not advocating, I'm just giving the facts. If we don't accept the jurisdictional transfer, that road is what it is for the foreseeable future. That's Alderwoman Mayor.
Is the city only willing to accept a 30-foot road? Rubblized.
To accept something.
Or can it be in its footprint, rubblized?
You're talking specifically the width. I guess we haven't discussed that with the county. I think our big concern is the actual structural ability. So they would allow less than a 30-foot is yet to be determined.
Right. Correct. Although, this is dated August 6th, is cross-sections of existing versus requested. The existing, typically, this isn't uniform because it varies, is 30 feet wide if you count the stone shoulder. The requested or proposal 30 is paving that entire width. And then with 2 feet of stone on either side, so you could say comparable is 34 to 30. You want to include stone. If you don't include stone, then the difference is existing is 20 versus 30 of pavement. I don't know if I'm being clear, but there's how you look at what the roadway, what the effective roadway width is. If it's just pavement, it's 20 to 30. If it's stone shoulder is part of the pavement, then it's 30 to 34. That's the best way I can explain it without really sitting down and going over the cross section. But this cross section is what they requested is they said, you tell us what you would tentatively want. Back in August, we told them we want it rubblized, and as Glenn has mentioned, brought back up. Take all the old asphalt out, all the faulty asphalt, get down to the concrete, rubblize it. That means taking the concrete and making sure there's nothing bigger than 3 inches, about the size of your fist. That will take away what we believe is the real problem with that road is that the concrete slabs below are heaving, frost heaving. And we can go on and on about that kind of discussion, but that is what we believe. By rubblizing it, we'll make it granular-like, and it won't uniformly heave like that. So we'll get that life we're talking about, the 25-30 we've talked about many, many times. But the 30 is no surprise. This isn't being forced down. If you want it narrowed up, they'll accommodate us. If you want to go 26, let's say, they'll do that. But, it's our call. And it can be. So.
But at 26, and then we could still have a sidewalk also, or?
Well, the Trans 75 kicks in because of the fact the county must use their CHIP funds, their county highway improvement funds, to match their cost involvement. The overall cost, preliminary estimate is $1.7 million on this. They want to use about $800,000 in CHIP money. Just quick numbers. But since they're going to use the CHIP money, that means you have to evaluate Trans 75 kicks in. And Trans 75 is what we've talked about, that the regulators get involved and you look at, all the things that have to be considered. And I think we can get an exemption. I don't know if it could be declared this early on, but I think we'll do it on cost. Trans 75 grants an exemption if you exceed 20% of the total project cost. I think we can prove that we can't do both sides. It'll exceed 20%, so they'll have to say, okay, just one side. But they will say one side, and it's got to be continuous. The best I know, like you said, I'm frustrated with this whole process because when you what you want to present, we talked about, you know, talking to them about what the needs are, what's realistic, and what's most cost beneficial. Never got to be able to talk about that, did we, in that meeting. So Trans 75, one side all the way, almost guarantee it. Guarantee.
And 30.
Be pleasantly surprised.
And 30 feet.
Well, no, I'm telling you, we can narrow it up somewhat. There's a limit, and I don't think you want to go, I mean, 22, and then I think they're going to want like a bike lane or a paved shoulder. So maybe you can do 28, careful what you ask for, because you might want, you might want that little bit of width, that extra, that bike lane on the outside of the travel lane of the cars.
Okay, here we go. Alderman Mayor still has the floor. Then it's Alderman Schmidt, Alderman Evans, City Attorney, Alderman Mayor.
Go ahead. Well,
certainly
this
provided
is
Suzanne's finished. Okay, thanks.
This certainly is a conundrum because there is no simple solution to this project, but it is something that we've been facing for a long time. And the fact is that if we don't reach some kind of agreement, the county will have no qualms about saying, okay, then we'll invest the money in another project somewhere else, like Creeks 13th Street or something. I understand the concerns about the closeness of the businesses and stuff. I also look at St. Martin's Road as being one of our featured attractions. We have the Labor Day Fair there every year that annually draws 100,000 people that come to visit our city. And, back in the 50s and 60s, it was a farmer's market. The city has evolved. And I think now that St. Martin's Road still looks like a farmer's trail, and we do need to get something done to get this improved. And unless we're going to start spending our own money and doing it our own way, I don't know how we can afford to just bypass and tell the county, well, we need another 6 months to get commitments from you to spend to decide that you're going to do exactly what we want. We've got to put some trust in them, I think, if Ron says that they would be willing to sell for 26-foot width with a path. We've got to put some faith, and that's what they'll do for us. So I would hate to see us just totally pass this up and lose the funding.
At the Board of Public Works meeting, a meandering path was mentioned. I believe you mentioned it.
Yes.
Can you explain what that was again, what you meant by meandering?
Well, as an example, on the northern end, there's some nice trees we would want to avoid. So we might, maybe move the path closer or maybe around the back side of the trees. And when you look down one side, it wouldn't just be a straight shot. If we have to, for example, St. Martin's Inn, maybe we want to move it closer to the road, around some of the nice trees we want to save. Maybe we actually go around the back side of the trees. Those are all design details I think we can work through.
Engineers, surveyors sometimes use the term offsetting, where you offset to go around. Meandering may give you a different
okay.
view of it.
And then with the rubbleizing of the road, you said it should last 30 years, is that correct?
As in all things, it depends on how you maintain it and how you take care of it and how, what load you allow on it and those sorts of things. So if we can maintain it like we do our other streets and stay on top of it, 25, 30 years should not be a problem.
Thank you.
Okay. City Attorney, Alderman Mayor, Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Mayor, Alderman Mayor.
Question for Assistant City Engineer. What's the current width of St. Martin's Road?
Generally, it's 20 feet of pavement, widening the shoulder to as much as 30 feet.
Widest pavement is 20 feet all the way up and down?
Not consistency. Consistently. I mean, with the overlays through the years, it's varied somewhat. You could go out and measure three or four different widths.
I measured in front of Crossroads, and it's 13 feet from the center to the edge of pavement.
Yeah, could be. It varies.
Alderman Mayor.
My question was back to the path. Now, we talked in at various points in the past about the possibility of a path, but we also talked about it crossing the road at various points to accommodate certain things. Now it sounds like that's not on the would not ever be on the table.
Right. I'm not sure you could, that you couldn't guarantee at all. I would think that would be very difficult for them to accept, them being the regulators of Trans 75. There would be some benefit to it. We evaluated that for an hour and a half one evening with Mr. Haley. But and we said, well, if we cross here and then cross back, that type of thing. I don't know. I would definitely say you may not get that. They may say one side uniform, the regulators of Trans 75.
And along with that, we talked at one point about not going the entire length
right.
The path of the sidewalk. Is that
correct? Mayor and I spent some time because we serve on our complete streets committee. We looked at connection points of connection, and there are several that we would like to connect to. And I think the end result was that we felt that only about half of the length of the 1.7 really would be required to make a connection of various points that we would like to connect to.
And you think that would be allowed?
One more time. The entire length, continuous, one side. I mean, I think you have to look at it that way. Anything given beyond that would be just really unexpected at best.
A long shot.
Long shot.
I'm a gambler. I'd go for it.
Right,
but I understand.
Dan?
Not now.
You're not now finished? Or you are
finished? No,
finished
now,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For now. For
Alderman
now.
Wilhelm, then Alderman Mayor.
Well, I was trying to figure out a way that we could move on. I understand we don't really want to lose this money. And, I don't know. I'm kind of lukewarm about the transfer. I'd like to know what's in that other plan about roads that we might be able to give the county back. So I know Suzanne had mentioned Putes when she said something. Maybe that would be a nice trade-off. But my idea was that the resolution could be adopted. And I'm not going to make this, but I'm throwing this out for the two aldermen that represent this. With the jurisdictional transfer contingent upon the county getting the Trans 75 exemption for one side, that they would hold a public meeting on the design. They would have, there would be continuous discussions on additional jurisdictional transfers between the county and the city, so we would all not have to run through this again. And that the county would share any SHPO Section 106 or EIS documents with the city, and that they work with us to do an offset path if it could work. And with all of those contingencies, we could be much more assured we could get what we wanted and not be stuck with a non-jurisdictional exemption road that would impact the village. So that's one solution. We could move forward with that tonight. That's fine.
Okay, I'm going to muddy up the works. There is another alternative potentially, and that's if this kind of council wants to roll the dice for the common council 20 years from now and say we'll take the risk that the base isn't that bad and just have them lift the 6 inches of asphalt and put 6 inches back on top of the original plan. They were going to come and strip the asphalt.
That was theirs.
Yeah,
that was never our.
That's what I'm saying. If we want to roll the dice, we can do that. And that does not require Trans 75, as I recall.
That's correct.
So there's another option. I saw it. Alderwoman Mayer.
Just a couple of points. If we did do a jurisdictional transfer, the businesses there are going to want a little bit more assurance from the city that they will be able to run their businesses the way they do now. I know that Mike at Crossroads, they have, you know, guys coming in on dump trucks and going to lunch there and that kind of thing. You know, so these are concerns that they have, saying that this, you know, isn't your typical city road. It really is being used as a county road. And the other thing is, in this handout that I had given you, page 446, it also says, you know, one of the responsibilities of the common councils and the cities is to adopt a local bike and pedestrian facility plan. So I just want to, you know, everybody, let everybody know that that is the complete street connectivity plan that we're trying to put forth too. So that's a responsibility in this big thing that we need to also look at some point.
Alderman Mayer.
In your best guess, if we put this off till the first meeting in January, do you think we could have representatives in Milwaukee County here to show us? My issue is not against sidewalks. It's against width and sidewalks in the village area destroying the buildings and the atmosphere and the businesses. But I'd like to see, and we've been asking county for this all along, what is the impact going to be to the businesses in there? What's it going to look like when this road is put through there? I'd hate to put the attorney's business out of office on the corner.
Yeah, I can't tell you that a county employee is supposed to be here, and I guess he gave his notice today, so he will not be there in a few weeks. Clark is going to be leaving the county, so that's why you don't see a county representative here.
So would it be possible, do you think?
We'll ask.
We'll ask. And are we risking... And that's why I was kind of hoping the county rep was here tonight to know if we could have a guarantee if we'd be risking the money if we put it off till that first week in January.
I can't tell you. He stated at Board of Works that he was okay if you were to hold off till January. So.
Okay.
Okay. What do you want to do?
Then I would move to hold it over till first week in January and have a representative from Milwaukee County here with plans as much as possible of what it would look like in the downtown.
See you, Chief. Is there support for that motion?
I second that.
Discussion of the motion?
Just one more point. To along with them being here, to get a guarantee that they would work with you so that we have some sort of an idea and they would work with you along the way to support those businesses.
Well, just to add to that a little bit, at some point we should have Sewer Pack come in and inform the council and the committee of the whole on this jurisdictional transfer sheet, because there's an awful lot of roads on here that involve the city, and I think we all need to be brought up to speed on that, because this is not going to stop here. So, especially with Putes is listed on there.
And is Fitz First Street. Discussions on the motion. Alderman Schmidt.
Well, the list of roads on here, that shouldn't, we can't have that now as part of the motion.
No.
Because we're
no.
just discussing, that's for future reference. But I'm just concerned about putting this, if we just continue to put this off for until the first of the year, whether or not that they're still going to hold the funding open for us for further review. Ron, what do you think is the likelihood? We're at the edge of the cliff.
Well, I think we've heard County Supervisor Taylor, Lennon mentioned that, had heard that right at the Board of Public Works.
Right.
That, you know, I think that they called the question first of the year just to give us a target point. You know, if we said we have several things that we want to clear up, but we're would it be fair to say that we're getting close to a motion to proceed or not? I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Turn out that's leading, but that's, you know. I mean, can you say that? Can we say that to them? There's some resolve that we need to make the motion or not?
Okay, it's going to be Evans, Dandria, Wilhelm, Mayer.
Mine is just quick. I understand having the county representatives here. They should be here, but I still don't. I don't know if I'll believe it's a guarantee if they say it's a guarantee.
It's not a part of the motion.
Yeah, it is. He said he wants.
Well, I'm taking it from the clerk. We'll figure it out. Alderman Dandria.
You know, it gets rather upsetting. We've been fully aware of this project for a long time. And we have now pushed it, as Mr. Schmidt has mentioned, we've pushed it now to the bitter end, and we can't come up with a decision. And these are dollars that we're up here to make these decisions, and we have to move forward on this, on these, one way or another. I don't like the outcome that there's going to be a road here that, if the decision was made to pass on it, is going to be a very rough road, similar to what North Cape Road is. These two roads intersect. And, I mean, you're all trying to second guess why the county wants to do jurisdictional transfers. I mean, we know that the county is financially in trouble as well. It's all dollars. It's coming out of my right pocket or it's coming out of my left pocket. But at least if it's coming out of the left pocket, it's coming out of a bigger pocket because there's more people involved in sharing the expense. I know that the people in the area don't like it. They want it to be traditional the way it was, but things change. The population has changed in this area. There are newer subdivisions that have built along this area, and there's more traffic on this road today than there was. You know, I hear what you guys want to do, but I do not want to jeopardize losing what the county has on their agenda either. And so I've got a tough vote here, you guys. I want to support the people on my agenda or the people on my council, but I'm also concerned about the dollars and cents here. And not making it a potential responsibility for all the citizens or only the citizens of Franklin that are going to be jeopardized by this. So, thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well,
you hate that term, sorry. I shouldn't use it.
Well, I think we need to make a decision on if we're okay with the jurisdictional transfer. That's step one. Because if we're not okay with it, we're kind of going down the wrong direction. It's, you know, if we're not going to accept, the Trans 75 and that, then we do the JD. It has to have the exemption. So my suggestions to adopting this resolution should be, in my opinion, perfectly okay because it has the contingency on the 75 Trans 75 exemption. So if I guess I'm not understanding what we're stuck on. If we get a contingent on that and they work out that out and you're guaranteed a smaller footprint, then it comes down here to maybe you just don't want to take over the road. So can we at least come to a consensus, because we don't need to be talking about all this. We can go to the other plan you suggested if we're not going to take over the road.
If we're not going to take over the road, it doesn't get rebuilt, plain and simple.
And I would not like to see us lose the funding. I'd like to see the road get rebuilt, and we can actually, which means we're leaning toward the jurisdictional transfer then, because that's what the county has told us. So then you just put a contingency in there for the Trans 75 exemption, and if they want to get rid of the road, it makes them work a little bit harder to get the exemption on our behalf. And that kind of solves that problem. And then you don't have to accept the road. If they don't get the transfer, I mean, you don't have to do the jurisdictional transfer, and you're right back to where you were before. Pretty much takes care of the issue. Am I missing something?
If it was easy, we would have had the answers 3 months ago.
So, okay, let me recap here. You don't take the transfer, you don't get the road rebuilt. That's item one. What I think we're wrestling with here is the lack of design. There's a reality here that I'm not sure that the county's aware of, but once they get into the village of St. Martin's, they've got issues, and I'm not sure they're aware of them. Those issues will cause them to have to do other things that I think would benefit what you're asking for, which is road width and location of the sidewalks. That's on the tape. I've said it before. I'm not sure I trust the county, but they will be forced, based on conditions, to do things that we're asking them to do now that we just don't have information. You want to lay it over? I'm okay with that. That opens us up to be accused of not being able to make a decision. It's a political decision that seven of us have to make. I'm okay with the suggestions that Alderwoman Wilhelm has. I'm not sure that the county will accept them, but at least it's a decision. So, there you go. Alderman D'Andrea.
You know, there was a very controversial section of road that had to be, that the village of Brown Deer wanted to do. It was Deerbrook Lane. That was a small section in actually an historic area. The village did approve it, and there were owners that tried to countersue the development, and they lost. There were businesses that were affected by this, and they lost parking. But in the overall scheme of it, it did improve the area. And so I like what Ms. Wilhelm has said. Okay, let's put some restrictions on it, but it gives us a chance to say, hey, we want to do the jurisdictional transfer, but we want to have some voice in to see what kind of options are available to us. Now, we've got to tell the county that we want to do something. It's the chicken or the egg. We had the same problem on North Cape Road. We had the identical problem. Come on. They came back after there was enough issues that were raised. They came back, and there was a plan that was put together that is going to work. Okay. We got to tell them, yes, we want to do it, but we've got some concerns. We need you to come out here so we can really talk about the issues.
Okay, let's do Suzanne and then we'll wrap it up.
I just want to point out, though, that because of all those issues on North Cape Road, it winds up costing the county a lot more money, and they're not very happy about that. So we need to do this one right, because the money may not be there. I think they may be taking money away from this project because of the money that they're spending on North Cape.
It's true, they are short on this
Alderman
project. It is true, they are short on this project, but they're going to make it work. And it's going to be coming to us. So we have to accept, we have to come up with a plan that's going to be acceptable to us.
Okay, the motion on the floor is to lay this over to the first meeting in January, which happens to be?
January 6th.
Which we have other things going on. So is that the entire motion? Madam Clerk.
Alderman Mayor moved to hold a jurisdictional transfer of West St. Martin's Road until January 6th, 2015, with a representative from Milwaukee County to appear with plans for West St. Martin's Road from South North Cape Road to South Lovers Lane Road, along with a guarantee that Milwaukee County will work with the city. Seconded by Alderwoman Mayor.
I will tell you that they're looking for us to guarantee that we'll work with them. So it goes both ways. So on the motion, Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Mayor, but let's.
I don't see how the motion addresses the Trans 75 exemption.
Madam Mayor.
I just want to also point out for the record that had a Milwaukee County representative been here tonight, maybe we could have gotten these answers tonight.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
No.
No. Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandria?
No.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
No.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
The vote is 2 ayes, 4 noes, motion.
No.
Three to three, motion.
You can
choose now.
The mayor votes no. Another motion, please. Oh, wait a minute. Is there another motion regarding this matter?
I guess, given the suggestions that I made, I'm wondering if the city attorney could fabricate something. I actually threw in several other points just to refresh his memory. It was the 28 feet versus 30, the JD contingent upon the Trans 75 exemption on one side. No, I'm refreshing the city attorney's memory so he can fabricate a motion, include whatever items in there that the public meetings on the design, this discussion on additional jurisdictional transfers to the county, sharing any SHPO or EIS Section 106 documents, and the offset path. Those were all of the items. But I was fine with just the one contingency for Trans 75 as the main point.
All right, Mr. City Attorney.
This is hypothetical, but my concern with right out of the gate, and what I'm hearing from engineering is an early design stage, to condition the entirety of participation upon subject matter being exempt from under Trans 75 could be construed by someone else as saying, well, you haven't even pointed out a specific exemption provision, and the design is still preliminary, so you really just don't want a sidewalk, period. And you're avoiding the entire process. That's my concern.
That's not true, though. It's not that we don't want a sidewalk.
Well, the condition is that the county obtain an exemption under Trans 75.
For one side was the condition, not both sides. It's that they get exemption on one side, which they should be able to do. It wasn't for both sides, not a full exemption from Trans 75, just the exemption for a double sidewalk, which would be required. And if they, you know, they should be able to, with the constraints down by the businesses and the amount of information that should come up out of these documents, I would think that that would be a pretty easy thing to do, so they should be able to accommodate that.
And I understand that position is supported by the engineering department with regard to all the design study they have done to date, and both the engineers are shaking their head yes, so that is not in any way a wish list or an arbitrary position.
Roberta had his hand up like he had a motion.
No.
All right. Alderman Schmidt? Alderman, are you?
You know, actually, I had asked for the city attorney.
He dodged the question?
No. That was my primary concern, but I can't be asked as council president is mentioning his conditions.
So, slowly, one at a time, please. Now the question is, can you read it? Not bad. Yeah, you can't read hers. While the city attorney is thinking, Alderman Schmidt.
Well, I think we pretty much agree that if we're going to go ahead with this, that we're willing to accept jurisdictional the transfer. What I'd like to see is if we could get to the funding issue with the recommendation that their plans not exceed the 30-foot width with the path on one side, that would be included within the 30-foot width. And I think everybody would be satisfied to go along with that. That would be our recommendation, accepting the transfer.
Is that 30-foot width gravel edge to gravel edge?
We need Ron.
I thought it was blacktop to blacktop pitch to edge.
Blacktop. Well, I got the alderman in the district nodding up and down.
I would want the shoulders included in that.
In the 30-foot width?
Correct.
Mr. City's assistant city engineer.
I would be reluctant to, in that motion, give a specified width. I think that's a design that needs to be really built in and considered. Did you say 28?
All right, let me offer a suggestion. That in the motion, that the design use the as minimum road width as possible. At least it gives your intention, right?
The only one I think was the starred one.
No, there's JD. What's JD?
That's
jurisdictional transfer.
Oh, well.
See, he was thinking of juris doctor. So. All right, Mr. Liberta and then Alderman Mayer.
I'm going to apologize up front if I confuse things, but I haven't been involved in this project. But I've just been listening to the solutions, and the problem obviously is Trans 75, but it's also because of the order in which we're trying to do everything. We're asking the county to, we're willing to take an asset once it has no impact on us. If we change that and agree to the transfer up front, then they're selling us a liability and they pay us. You could potentially, if they have $800,000 of their own money in this, set up something where we accept the road. Now it becomes a local road. We design it and do the project to our standards. They pay us an annual amount that's small enough such that it would cover the cost of a 20-year bond that we could do to pay for the road all up front. They only have to use the $800,000, set it aside to pay maybe the first 10 years of it. County executive can let the next county executive 10 years from now worry about how to put $100,000 in the budget. So we could take the transfer up front, make it a city project if we get an agreement with them that they owe us an annual stream of money that sort of covers it. The reason it might work for them is because it could bring the cost down by 20% if you're now doing it your own way. So sorry to confuse things more, but people have been looking for another solution. I don't know if anybody's considered that. But that's the only thing I can think of. Change the order of things to get Trans 75 off the pile and get the county's design standards out of the way.
That's certainly creative.
Thank you. I don't know if it works.
All right, Dan, if you don't mind. Mr. City's turn.
Only that I haven't been part of this process either. But my recollection is that the North Cape Road project situation ultimately came together with following a meeting between city staff, the mayor, county staff, state staff, and then proceeded to a common council meeting after much more of the technical detail was discussed, including Trans 75 in that meeting parameter. I don't know if it's too late for that to occur, but maybe instead of simply requesting county representatives to be here at the next meeting, perhaps the matter should be put over to allow staff to try and set up a similar meeting as took place on North Cape Road. And I know I've heard comments here tonight that North Cape Road was a once in the past and circumstances have changed. But that might be one way of moving forward without moving forward immediately, and perhaps more answers would be readily available. And I know Trans 75 questions were addressed on North Cape Road by way of that process also.
Alderman Mayer.
I do want to make it clear I'm not against sidewalks, so if that was what you were getting at, Mark, that we wouldn't have to necessarily follow Trans 75 and not put in sidewalks. That's not my point, not to have sidewalks. My point is that I don't want to destroy the downtown of the village by putting too wide of a road and sidewalks in and destroying the businesses. I am in favor of sidewalks. I think they'd be good. And for us to rebuild the road without sidewalks in some places that we wanted probably would be wrong to do. The other thing, if it pleases the motion maker, and I don't know if this motion will go through. I thought you made it. Okay. All right. When a motion is made, then I'll add something. I thought you made the motion.
You're going to add to the motion?
Yeah, I want to make sure that the flagpole in downtown Village, right across from Crossroads, is maintained. If it has to be moved for the road, then I want to put back there. So either maintained or put back. No, it's not. Well, who knows where this is going to go?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, City Engineer Moore.
Yeah, I wrote it this way, and maybe it's not coming across this way, but I wrote it such that we will accept it if they can provide the road with X, Y, and Z. So if we vote, or if you vote tonight to accept it with X, Y, Z, N plus A, B, C, D, whatever else you want to add to it, and they go through the exemption process and they don't get all the exemption, they can't deliver road with X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, then I don't think you take it but the way it's written. But maybe you need to make that more clear.
Mr. City Attorney.
And I know I talked to the Assistant City Engineer today. And I was informed that the county has copies of these materials in front of the council this evening. So once upon a time, I mean, there is a jurisdictional transfer form contract.
Right.
And that this resolution is not intended to enter into that contract. And perhaps in the resolve it says that the Council of the City of Franklin conditionally accepts the concept of the jurisdictional transfer from Milwaukee County. And then lists the requirements thereafter and the one sidewalk or path is listed in there. So that would include, as in the action sheet, engineering specs, removal of asphalt, rubbleizing and compacting the concrete, resurfacing with HMA, widening to rural cross section of 30 feet. Including shoulders.
I thought you'd want to put the width in there.
He's saying including shoulders, though, so that makes a difference.
That gives you a 26-foot roadway, 2-foot of gravel.
There is also a typo in the second lane.
I know. I read over that.
All right. You ready? Want to suggest a motion?
Adopt the resolution proposed by staff in the County Council agenda packet, subject to the resolved provision reading. Be resolved by the Mayor and Common Council of the City of Franklin that the Common Council conditionally accepts the concept of the jurisdictional transfer from Milwaukee County of West St. Martin's Road, parent CTH MM, from South North Cape Road to South Lovers Lane Road in exchange for the removal of asphalt, rubbleizing, and compacting the concrete and resurfacing with HMA, widening to a rural cross-section of 30-foot width, including shoulders. The installation of a multi-use pathway along one side only, to put sidewalk / pathway,
Doesn't it go to the county line?
No.
No?
It ends at South North Cape.
Guys.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
The repair of storm sewer systems and public informational meetings with regard to the design of the road project.
And compliance with, what's that section, Chris?
106.
106.
No.
That's fine. I don't
know. Okay.
Just so we get the document.
Okay, period. Do we want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
That's what I like. Step up, Doug.
I'll second it.
Dan, thank you. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Thank you very much. It was a good discussion, and I think staff understands, as they always have. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, can I say one more thing?
You absolutely may.
I set it up. I want to say it one more time. Ron did do an outstanding job on this. He was beating his head against the wall for months because he wasn't getting answers from people. And the meeting we were at on the phone with the state, he was as diplomatic as possibly could be and as supportive of Franklin, and was up against some uncomfortable odds there, but he held his own. He did very well.
Thank you for the kind comments. And we do have an excellent staff, and I know Ron killed himself on this. And it shouldn't have been Ron. It should have been Clint. It should have been the county guys. Maybe we can bang through these last three. Item G10, acceptance of water main deferments for St. Martin's Road.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G11, resolution authorizing officials to execute MMSD Green Solutions funding for grant for the water and wastewater buildings porous pavement.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G12, resolution to modify equipment additions to the equipment replacement fund for the city of Franklin. I support this.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Alderman Mayor. Alderwoman Mayor.
When do the siting fees end?
Mr. Rotzenberg.
Relative to the siting fees, I would defer to the city attorney as I defer to the city attorney as to when that agreement is, but right now I understand that the expansion of the landfills would cause those landfill siting revenues to remain in place for probably more than a decade, as maybe as many as two decades.
Mr. City Attorney.
It all depends upon the length of use upon expansion by the operator of the landfill, and that's subject to approvals by DNR. So it could be, with the number of acres that are potentially available, could be years and years, years and years.
You have them going out until 2030 on this chart on the back, though?
I assumed about 15. I took the chart out to 2030 on that, and I assumed that they were available during that entire period of time, as the information I've received would suggest it would be.
Okay. And then I do have a question on that chart also. Under the other, after the landfill siting, and then it says other. What is that?
That's principally those would be investment revenues on the fund balance. And that's why it's declining. As the fund balance begins to decline, those numbers are going down.
Somebody asked, 6%, 3%?
3%.
Just to sound like gauge.
And then the other thing is if those landfill siting fees would end, what would the other options be to pay for these?
tax levy would be the principal option that I'd be moving to, but we'd obviously be looking for other sources of revenue as well. But we have limited revenues to be able to choose from.
Okay.
Doesn't change the need for the equipment, and that the equipment will be replaced.
I thought you wanted to speak. All right, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Contract for G13, contract for professional services with GovHR for a class and comp study. Sorry, classification and compensation study.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Alderman Evans. Alderwoman Evans.
I just have a couple concerns. One of them is regarding page 3, 8A, on the private sector. So I've got to get that myself. If we're only going to look at, if we're going to look at the private sector only regarding salary, I'd like to know why only salary. I guess I have a concern with how do you compare private sector to public sector with the city in that respect. I mean, there are the jobs in the public sector in the city. Unless you only go into the office, how are you going to find them in the private sector?
It is very difficult, and in fact, this particular consultant typically recommends not pursuing private sector job data. But given that they were offering to at least compile survey data that could be collected from local businesses that might elect to volunteer their data, with solicitations from staff and probably with some help from elected officials trying to see if they will participate, they would compile the data that was received. So what isn't built into this, as some communities have attempted to do, is a very detailed collection of private sector data where you then work it into the conclusions and the numbers. For the most part, the consultant and myself would agree with you. It's very difficult to pull private sector data in. But since they added only a nominal cost to then compile and report on what data could be collected if we can get local businesses to participate, it then at least provided a benchmark, maybe not a statistical benchmark, but a benchmark of sorts. So the nominal added cost they had for the steps, the personnel committee believed it was reasonable to go ahead and include that extra part.
Because then we were talking about businesses with the same amount of employees. So we have 250 employees. Are you talking businesses only in Franklin, or are you talking businesses in the county?
Well, you would try to target and identify ones as close to probably in Franklin and its boundaries as possible. Within Franklin, you're more likely to have communities or a business want to participate. You look, for example, when Fort Atkinson tried this, they were one of the few that were successful in getting it because there was a bit of a drive in the business community to try and make sure the local government had that comparable private sector data. That will be more challenging here. So their effort and all they put in their proposal was to compile what we could do and work with us to, you know, prepare the letters and the requests for what we need. Part of our meetings with them would be to evaluate, okay, given if we identify, you know, eight businesses that we think might participate, that we could try and engage to participate, we would look at the nature of that business and identify which ones might be appropriate. You know, you might find the CFO is one. A lot, as you suggest, a lot of the clerical or administrative staff maybe some, if it happens to be an industry that has, or a business that has some trucking or construction, you might have some DPW ties. But they acknowledge in the proposal, and I acknowledge in the report we did a year ago, that it is very difficult to find comparable jobs between the two. So that's why they've said that they'll compile it, but the numbers would not be included in the statistical analysis portion. It would be compiled for reference.
I think it's not really valuable, and I think considering everyone here is an employee of the city, of the taxpayers compared to a private sector, I think they're under, and I'm not talking about the elected officials, but I'm talking about the employees, they're under more more pressure and a different climate, and I just think it'd be very hard to compare the jobs to the private sector. So I'm not in favor of that, and I think it's a waste of time, but especially if it's just salary-wise. Also, and plus we have a different budget than private sector, and you know we freeze our budget. I guess if I hadn't been in another meeting, I would have liked to have been in on the conversation at the personnel committee on that. I don't know if anybody wants to offer anything.
Sure.
Well, let me. Part of that is my insistence that we try to get some data from the private sector, because at the end of the day, we compete with the private sector for employees, so we ought to at least know what's going on. I mean, it's light equipment operators, Kachawa Enterprises. They do almost the same stuff our public works guys do. I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but it gives us a basis from which we can at least see what our competition is. And it was a nominal amount of money, so I said, yeah, let's do it. Mr. Dandria. On to Dandria.
Janet, we did, those were questions that were addressed at the personnel meeting. Okay, and because it was such a small amount and that it wasn't going to have a significant impact on the overall study, we said, let's gather that data. If there are going to be, if there's going to be private industry that's going to participate in and release that data to us in the first place, they may not participate, and then we won't have that information, and then it'll be municipality to municipality studies in a geographic area that will be, you know, within the boundaries of you know, Wisconsin, okay? And I'd say southeastern Wisconsin for the most part, okay? We may take some outliers just to see what's happening up in the valley, seeing what's happening out in Madison, just to, so we have an idea there. But to address that question, it was thoroughly discussed at the personnel meeting, and we knew that it wasn't going to offer a lot, but for the nominal expense, we thought it was worthwhile to at least get that little tidbit of information that would offer us.
As a point of information, that cost, as shown on page 2 of this, is about $1,000 of the total.
Alderwoman Evans still has the floor.
I've seen that kind of information, though, gathering private sector information and then using it in the public sector. Really have an outcome and affect the climate. You know, I think the climate's very important for our employees here. And which brings me to another point where we have 80 different job classifications, and then there's another section that says that the company will interview, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was about half of those. Pull out. I mean, why so small of an amount to pull out?
Mr. Bird.
Based upon their experience in doing it, they've identified a practice that they believe allows them to get thorough information such that they're able to comparatively evaluate jobs. Some of the positions are explained very well. Some of the positions are very straightforward. And so they may not need to do interviews for every position. If you recognize, for example, when we look at how we will be matched against comparables, not every one of our jobs will have comparables in every community. What they try to do is get enough points that align so that we can link ourselves to the outside market, but then use the internal basis to say, well, this one's right because we know it falls between these two, even though we don't have an outside comparison, but we have outside comparisons for these, so we're satisfied this is right. So their amount of interviewing was not any less than some of the other ones, as I recall. But it's their professional opinion that they can get thorough results doing the level of interviewing that they've identified.
My last question is regarding that. How will you choose if you, let's say you have dispatchers, which dispatcher will you choose? How will you determine that?
We'll work with the supervisors largely and the consultant. So the consultant, for example, may look at one and say, I want to talk to this person because they wrote these things. Every employee will fill out a job analysis questionnaire. And then each of those will be reviewed by the supervisor. Won't be altered by it. They can add to it so that the consultant then sees what the employee said about their job and what the supervisor says about their job, as well as commenting on what the employee said about it. So in some instances, the consultant may say, I want to talk specifically to this person and this person and pick two others. So in which case, we would fill in those. In some cases, it will be based upon shift. Dispatchers, I think, is your best example. They're going to be here on a fixed day, and there's going to be certain dispatchers who are available on that day.
Let the record reflect that Alderwoman Wilhelm has left her seat at 8:56. Then. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I guess it's Mr. Dandrea, then Alderman Dandrea.
I didn't have my hand up.
I did. Perhaps you confused us.
Both the hairstyles or something. Alderwoman Mayor, then Alderman Mayor.
I just have a question, a quick one. Is this the same company that did the Fort Atkinson study? And were they involved in?
I don't believe it was.
No.
I would have to look.
I thought your references were different.
How was Fort Atkinson so successful in getting their information?
In the end, I know that at the data collection part, the manager at the time told me it was working very well. Eventually, though, I know that manager left, and I don't know where she left during the process, because when I did my study in 2013, Fort Atkinson wasn't done with the report yet.
Okay.
And since last year, I have not followed up on that specific one.
Just one quick question. Alderman
Mayor.
I kind of take just the opposite approach. I think unless we can get broad range of private sector and other types of careers and take those points as you suggest, the commonalities and compare teachers, postal workers, truck drivers, all of those things in the private sector, or not even the private sector, some of those are public, but until we can get that broad range and treat everybody fairly and show exactly where we're at, we keep ourselves in a bubble here, and I don't think that's right. I think this is a waste of money to do that without that broad scope.
Alderman Evans, and then let's try to move
back. Yeah. Teachers aren't public, aren't private sector.
Yeah, I know.
You caught yourself in.
Backed up there a bit.
Heather?
Yeah, that's it.
But they are professional. We have many, you know, there's a lot of comparabilities there with the professionalism.
Alderman Dandridge.
Just one last point. The reason why we're doing this comp and salary comparison is back a few years ago, Act 10 was enacted and approved, and it made some changes. And we have to look at how we can change, especially how we're going to be able to address budgets in the future. That's why we need this. It's a tool. Are we going to? We can't always think that it's going to be used to the worst possible scenario. But we have to be able to have tools that we can manage our budget properly.
Mr. Roberta, and then Alderwoman Evans.
This firm was not the one who did Ford Atkinson. That was Carlson Detman. And an important thing to reference here, when you mention a concern about this study, if it doesn't include those, recognize that the classification component is absolutely critical, because federal discrimination laws relative to employment and payment practices require that you have internal comparability and are able to prove that you're paying positions fairly and don't have built-in discriminatory practices. Employing the kinds of mechanism that this company and each of the ones that bid are using is an indicator by the EEOC that you are doing just that and doing what's required. So that the reason that hadn't been a concern pre-Act 10 is because in competitive bargaining areas where you're in a labor contract, they're excluded from that requirement because it's presumed to be non-discriminatory because it's mutually agreed upon. So the classification side is essential going forward. Then once you have everybody sort of ranked and fairly compared against each other, then the compensation piece they're pulling in to say, okay, then where do you pay these people such that you're meeting the marketplace and you're meeting your comparables and you're paying enough so that people will come and stay and that you can attract the right workers. And that's where the pay philosophy will come in. But so the classification is essential.
Alderman Evans.
Yeah, I'm in favor of this study, totally. And I think this is a good company. It's just the private sector issue.
Given that, all those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
No.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Vote is 4-1. Motion carries. Item G14. One absent. Geographic Marketing Advantage Agreement for GIS support through 2015.
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. See how I did that? Didn't ask for discussion. Item G15, off-the-shelf edit app solution for the IS department. Mr. Roberta.
This is largely just to update you because it has been a project that we've been working on.
Is there a motion to place on file?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Item H1, miscellaneous licenses and permits. Alderman Dandridge.
I'd like to make the motion to approve the following licenses. Operator New, Cynthia Martinez, approved. Operator New, Heather Bandel, approved. Operator New, Sherry Gadke, hold for disposition on file. Then People Uniting for the Betterment of Life, Investment in the Community, public grant for St. Paul's Lutheran School Community Picnic, approved. And the same for the Franklin Police Citizen Academy Alumni Association, approved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item I-1, is there a new sheet at your places? there a motion approving that general checking account city vouchers in ranges 154615 through 154778, amount of $3,547,584.05, dated November 26th through the December.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Vote is one absent. Motion carries. Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated December 12th, the amount of $356,026.52 in payment of various payroll deductions, the amount of $206,460.55 plus matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh. Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
It only took
Kristen's not here. It confused me. Kristen wasn't here.
Here we go.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
The motion passes. Vote was 5 ayes, no noes, 1 absent. Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated December 26th, estimated at $355,000, and payment of various payroll deductions, estimated as $370,000 plus matching payments?
So moved.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Now that the clerk has recovered. The motion passes. Five ayes, no noes. One absent. Or abstention, sure. Is there a motion approving property tax refunds in the ranges of 13297 through 13300 in the amount of $474.35, dated December 11th?
So moved, but I have a question.
Second.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Why are we still sending tax overpayments this late?
Property owners have begun to pay their 2015 property tax bills, and some of those are being paid with escrow checks, which, and since there was a tax reduction, it's resulted in some refunds. We've got these several started, but there's a very large number coming at us.
So these are for?
For the coming year.
This year, okay.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
You can have your job back. The vote passes. Vote is 5-4, no against, and 1 abstention absent. Is there a motion approving the payment to Buxton in the amount of $25,000?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion approved. Vote was 5-4, none against, and 1 absent. Is there a motion approving payment to Payne and Dolan in the amount of $217,555.84?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer. Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
The motion is approved. 5 ayes, no noes, 1 abstention absent. Is there a motion approving the payment to Musson Brothers, Inc. in the amount of $6,137.71?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion is approved. 5 ayes, no noes, 1 abstention absent. Is there a motion approving the payment to PCF Construction in the amount of $103,512.40?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
That's okay.
Alderman
Aye.
Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Motion is approved. 5 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, abstain. Is there a motion to go home?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Merry Christmas.